All right, we're going back east as we look around baseball today and bring in our senior writer from MLB.com, and that is Barry Bloom, who's back east. And Barry, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Mr. Marty. How are you?
Well, we're well. As you know, we got a little bit of weather here. We're inside the bunker this morning, not at the public house, but you're in beautiful New York City. And you've got the Yankees and the Mets, and all of a sudden the home runs are flying off the Yankee bats.
Yeah, well, I don't think the weather is too much better here tonight either, so we'll see what happens with the Mets tonight. Yeah, you know, especially Yankee Stadium, I mean, the ball just travels like crazy there. Even in cold weather, you know, there was a lot of home runs this week between the Yankees and the Astros.
Well, you got the Phillies in town, and I don't know when the Phillies are going to win a game. Their bullpen has just gotten knocked around. The starting pitching, not too bad. But the Mets go tonight. Bartolo Colon, the fifth starter. Barry, this Mets team, as people ask me what could happen in the National League, I always say it's sort of the Mets will dictate a lot of it because of that rotation. How's the start for the Mets? How's David Wright, Cespedes? What's going on in New York?
You know, DeGrom left yesterday's game with a lat issue, which I think they're going to be looking at closer today. And it could be the fact that, you know, you're playing in 40-degree weather and the back tightened up, but he'll be fine moving forward. But, of course, any of their young pitchers, when there's a little bit of a glitch, they worry about. But so I haven't heard anything new on that today. You know, the Cespedes slow start, right? Very slow start. I wrote about him today. I think what he's doing personally is heroic, but I'm not sure that he's ever really going to get it back playing with, you know, spinal stenosis, which is, you know, a chronic thing. He's not going to have surgery for it or doesn't want to. And whether he's going to be able to, again, get to any sort of level of where he was is really up to question. But great guy, and if anybody, I'd love to see him to be able to do it. You know, otherwise, actually, this is their fourth game of the season tonight, so Colon is starting, and I think it's Mats tomorrow. So it's they've been shuffling around their rotation. They had the whole thing with DeGrom and the baby, and they didn't know whether, you know, when he was going to be, whether he's going to even be available for Friday night, Friday's game. His wife is yet to have the baby, so I'm sure at some point he's going to go home. Then they had Harvey with a blood clot early on. They didn't know whether he's going to be ready for opening day. I mean, so far, Syndergaard has really been their best pitcher, and the Phillies are just awful.
Boy, all right, good. Yeah, this is why we want John to get a report from back east. Barry Bloom is back there covering the Mets and Yankees this week. Barry's going to be back in New York for a bit this beginning of the season. All right, what about the Yankees, though? And, you know, I'm looking at the switch-hitting home runs of Beltran and Teixeira. You know, they're getting pretty close to some pretty lofty company. Lifetime's home run hitters as switch hitters. Yankees off to, I'd say, a decent start. Starlin Castro's going nuts. If you're a fantasy baseball player, I'm sure you're glad to have him. What does the Yankee rotation look like with Tanaka and everybody else? How the Yankees doing?
Well, let's start with Castro. And, you know, really, the two trades that, you know, Brian Cashman has made over the last two seasons. One was a three-way deal with Detroit and Arizona to get Gregorius last year, who stepped in and replaced Jeter. And now he's got Castro with, after 3 years of looking for a second baseman, the Yankees have gone through like 8 second basemen since Robinson Cano went to Seattle. And it looks like, you know, early returns that this kid is going to settle in and really stabilize that position. And when you think that as little as 3 years ago, Cano and Jeter were your shortstop second base combination, now you've got Gregorius and Castro both at 26, who are the center of their infield and really bode very well for the future for them if they stay healthy and continue to do what they're doing. Both cover a tremendous amount of ground. I think they're better defensively overall than Jeter and Cano. Whether they will be offensively is, and what they will be mean for the, you know, the dictates of the franchise for the future is another thing. You know, in terms of the pitching staff, it's the same old stuff. You know, Tanaka, Pineda, CeCe, Eovaldi. Their starting pitching hasn't been very good. Tanaka went 5 2/3 on opening day, was taken out of the game pretty much after a game-tying home run. And he's been the best of the lot so far with his elbow. But Pineda was terrible. Eovaldi was terrible. Yesterday, Severino in Detroit wasn't very good. You know, they have that bullpen set up, and, you know, they got 5 innings out of Eovaldi the other day. They came back in the game against Houston, who's equally bad bullpen and bad backup starting behind Keuchel, and that's where they hit a lot of home runs and scored a lot of runs. And then the bullpen came in, and four guys basically shut the Astros down the rest of the way. You know, and that's how they're going to win. Just get enough starting pitching. It's the Kansas City Royal model, and it's just get enough guys out of these problematic starters to get to the bullpen and close the game down.
How do you like the Trevor Story in Colorado, the way this kid's hitting home runs and the way the Diamondbacks have started off? And then you get the crazy game last night with the near no-hitter against the Giants, and Dave Roberts takes out Stripling at 100 pitches with a no-hitter at 7 1/3, and Trevor Brown takes one deep, and they end up winning. What a week of baseball, huh?
Yeah, I mean, look, Trevor Story had a great spring training, and there was a question of whether he was really going to be able to take that over into the regular season, as we've seen so often happen. He looks like, you know, he might be the real thing. Let's see how it plays out over the long term, because we've seen plenty of guys who've had great March and Aprils who just die in the middle of May, and you never hear from him again. So, you know, the jury for me is still out on Trevor Story, but good marks to go forward. You know, the Diamondbacks is just what we, you know, obviously nobody figured Greinke to give up 6 runs in the third inning of the opener, 2 home runs. I mean, that's more runs, I think, than he gave up the whole first half of the season last year for the Dodgers. But my question with Greinke all along has been, when you give him $205 million, make him the number one on your staff, and you don't have the cloak of Kershaw over you to pitch behind, you know, I think always thought he was a much better fit as a number two starter. And he would have been much better for himself personally to stay with the Dodgers or go with the Giants and pitch behind Bumgarner. But this is what he wanted, and he got the 6 years from the Diamondbacks, took the extra money. He went for the money rather than winning. And, you know, the Diamondbacks behind him don't have much of a rotation. So they've been letting up a lot of runs, and they're not playing very well behind these pitchers either. And even Goldschmidt has had not a great start. The guy who's, you know, been hitting the hell out of the ball since the start of spring training has been Segura, and that just hasn't stopped. So what they're 2-2 at this point, even the Padres beat the heck out of Colorado pitching yesterday and scored 13 runs after scoring 9 in 3 games against the Dodgers at home. You know, so it's kind of like lopsided. I watched the your game last night on MLB TV, and you know, the thing with 100 pitches, you know, Dan Weld, that came from above Dave Roberts. That wasn't his decision. There's dictates of what they do, and it comes from Andrew Freeman and the boys. That's why Roberts is the manager there and not Donnie Mattingly. He's their hand-picked guy. He's going to do what they tell him to do. So, I mean, who then thinks that, you know, your backup catcher is going to tie the game, and then Crawford wins it. It's just the beauty, as you said, that's baseball. And it's the beauty of watching the baseball. I picked the Giants to win the division from the get-go, and nothing the first week that's happening is telling me anything different. I mean, they're just solid from top to bottom. And, you know, with Kane pitching as well as he did last night, that was a huge question mark. They've gotten good starts out of Cueto and even you know, they lost the game to Samardzija pitch, but he was fine. You know, they've got a lot of hitting. If they stay healthy, to me, with the Dodger rotation, it's a, you know, they should be a slam dunk to win the division this year.
Well, we'll see. That's why you got to play 162. Great analysis, though. And last question for Barry Bloom is MLB.com, of course, senior writer. The slide rule into second, that seems like every night we're getting, not only is there a big play about it, but it changes the course of a game. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, we've had this discussion, and I had a long discussion with Girardi and A.J. Hinch about this the other day. Look, here's the bottom line. You had two players. One was posing at the plate, getting knocked out for the season, and the other was Tejada getting knocked out in the playoffs last year. Now you have rules being put out for the play at the plate, and they're probably just getting used to that. It's a couple of years in. Now you have the play at second, and players are going to have to adjust that too. So if I'm the manager, what you have to do is you have to tell your guys, don't do anything that's going to hurt a player. This is all to protect these players. They want not only the star player, but all the players to be protected by the rules. And certainly the guys who are making millions of dollars, they don't want knocked out of action by some stupid play at second base where a guy takes out a guy's knee and goes up high or out of the baseline. I mean, is that so hard to understand? I mean, it's just like every other sport. You know, even in hockey, you still have fighting, but you've relegated it to such a degree with penalties and suspensions that it's even limited that. You don't have it anymore because you can't get goons knocking star players out of the game that score goals in a league where you don't score any goals. It's really that simple. So I think, you know, it'll take some time to adjust because, as Hinch said, and even Girardi said, you wind up with, like, your player goes back to instincts. If this is the way you've always played the game, in the split seconds you have to make a decision on what you're going to do, you're not going to be thinking about it. You have to go in with your inclination and your instincts to go into the bag. And until those instincts and inclinations change over the course of time, you're going to still have these kind of problems. But I think eventually they will get it, and I think you're going to have a much safer and better game in the long run, just like you have a much better and safer game at the plate, too.
Hey, beautiful. Great report, Barry. Very nice to have you with us. I know you're going to be back in New York. I love having you on and getting the East Coast perspective. And have a good day, and we'll talk to you again.
Sure. I think we've got the Giants here at the end of the month, too, at Citi Field. So that'll be fun.
Perfect. All right. Thanks, Barry. Thanks so much. That's Barry Bloom, MLB.com. More coming up.